Good evening. Welcome to the regular meeting of the Rockland City Council, Rockland Public Financing Authority, and successor agency. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Robert, roll call, please.
Councilmember Magnuson.
Present.
Councilmember Broadway.
Here.
Councilmember Yule.
Here.
Mayor Janda.
Present.
Butler's not here.
Okay, I didn't
know. He hasn't
know
lost it. That much weight.
All right, and Butler has not arrived yet.
Arrived. Okay. Thank you. First item, agenda review. Any agenda? Nope, council reports. We don't have a number on that one. Anyone have council reports?
Not for me.
Ken? No,
thank you.
Do you want to report on our...
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should
sure,
report on that.
Sure. Yeah, so I'll start and then you can jump
sorry,
in.
Sorry to make it so mysterious. We just had a meeting.
So the City Attorney Recruitment Committee, Scott and myself, met with Deanne and our consultant, Gary Phillips, and we went over the application period closed. So we had 19 applications total, and we looked at those and agreed that out of that, 7 were, met sort of our, that we were going to pursue. And we'd like to interview those 7 and set a date. We looked at different calendars and what the candidates could do, and it pretty much just gave us one Saturday. We felt it'd be an all-day Saturday event, December 3rd.
Well, not that I'm trying to pass the buck,
mm-hmm.
but the city attorney, I mean, I'll be gone on, the 13th?
December.
Mm-hmm. December 13th. Mm-hmm. I think that you should have that meeting after whenever the new board gets settled here. I'm just making an assumption that the incumbents will be reelected.
Sure, yeah. So we did talk about that, and we would – this would just be initial round, and it would – and from that, we would get down to 2 or 4 and then hold off until the new council for the final. But it's open for discussion.
Our recommendation are the 7. And by the way, the book is in Deanne's office that will have all of the applicants' information if anyone cares to go view that. So this is really just our recommendation, the 7, based on the criteria that we've all agreed. The 3rd, I think, would work because obviously we'll know in a few hours where we're going to be.
Yeah.
And in the past, and I was a part of the process when we hired Rick, we had it's kind of a similar situation. We had a new person coming in, Diana, actually. And so she was involved in the process, just not in the closed session interview process. And what the idea would be, we'd take these 7 and winnow that down to a final candidates, maybe a couple, 2 or 3, and then have a subsequent meeting that executive staff could be also involved in an interview dialogue of some sort. And then that newest member would be a part of that final selection.
That would be after the 13th of December.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoever the council is going to be when the person gets hired should be the ones that make the selection.
Absolutely.
But I mean, all the way through it.
We took that under consideration, and I would even suffice it to say that, I mean, if it seems like somebody's going to be locked out or something, we'll revisit the plan. But if there's a new person on the council, they will participate in some manner that they legally can in this initial.
Right. They just can't be part of the closed session, but they can interview them separately outside.
I was being conscientious.
Sure.
Yes, and
we
spoke about that for a long, long time, and it was our effort to goal to make sure that everybody was included. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. I just.
So would anybody mind? Yeah. Checking
Dave, just to get you up to speed. Good. You got some presents? Scott and I were just reporting on the city attorney recruitment committee. We met today with our consultant, and we had 19 candidates or 19 applications. And we looked through those and decided there were seven that we wanted to recommend a first round interview, whittle it down to, and that would be an all day. Saturday, we're looking at one day to do that. And the day we're looking at is December 3rd.
Okay. Would you be available?
UCLA's not going to be in the Pac-12 championship. I'm good.
You're good. All right. Good. December 3rd. December 3rd, George?
I guarantee that, yeah.
December 3rd, Saturday, okay with you?
Are you looking at me?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. I don't have my appointment book with me, so.
Okay. All right.
I would assume so, but I can't guarantee it.
Okay. Okay.
I will do my best. I'm sorry.
The timing on that, I mean, any later, then you're right deep into the holidays, and it pushes it way. That's why we...
I understand. Yeah. I understand.
Otherwise, we're into January and beyond. But
Deanna likes working.
So the intent just is December 3rd, if that's feasible, to have an all-day special city council meeting where we would set up interviews with the and invite the seven applicants that the committee initially spoke to, and then the intent would have follow-up final interviews at a later time with the new sitting city council.
Right. So if we take a look at the – I got to ask a question. So if I go over to Deanna's office and I look and I say, "Guy, I think this guy or this gal
– sure.
really belongs in that. Can we add to those seven?
I think we can.
I think
give
so.
Give us your feedback, and I can tell the right people, and we can make it happen.
Okay. Well, I just wondered.
Yeah.
Definitely. Do so fairly quickly, though, because, you know, the next step would be for the recruiter to notify those that won't get invited. So,
well, I will try to do it by – is Friday too late?
What's that? No. No,
yeah, I anticipate the recruiter will not communicate with those who are not invited, would only communicate with those who are invited for a follow-up at this time. And then, you know,
yes,
right, that's my anticipation.
Okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that would be fine. Go ahead.
Council, if there are any conceivable budget requirements, I would need to know that. I don't know who or where or what your plans are, but – there needs to be some.
Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. And also the subsequent meeting when we have.
Sure. Go ahead.
Well, just the idea was that if we take that list of seven and bring it down to some finalists, two, maybe three, that we'd have a subsequent meeting during the week with staff where we could have an arrange it so that the appropriate staff members can come in and have some dialogue. The format out of that is, I don't think we've really worked out, but that would be the process, and that would be the next meeting, and we'd hope to do that sometime, you know, January, mid-January or something like that.
Okay. As we proceed, we'll get to it.
And the thought was the December 3rd meeting would just be here at the city meetings, an all-day thing for the city meetings.
I don't know if they were travel cost or lodging.
Yeah.
Or anything,
so. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure.
There are two on the list that are Southern California based, so it's possible.
Just for the record, I paid for my own ticket and lodging when I came.
All right.
That's great. And, well, just for the public's information, too, we kept this to California only, mm-hmm. so there wouldn't be any, you know, no one from Florida. We wouldn't have to pay from Florida. No.
There's nobody left in Florida.
You can speak to that. Good. Do you have a report? Okay. All right. On to agenda modifications. Any to the agenda? Right. So on the consent calendar, I'd like to pull item 11 just for information. Anything else? Would anybody, a member of the public, like to pull an item off the consent calendar? Nope, seeing none, then we'll come back to council.
Move approval of the consent calendar, everything but item 11.
Second.
There's a motion, a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. So item 11, Justin, I just wanted to, it's a fairly sizable document, and just maybe for the public record, just informational purposes, kind of explain what it is, why we're looking at it,
Start on page one, and then just
any highlights of sort of significant changes that you want to point out?
Sure. Good evening, Mayor, City Council members. Justin Narker, Deputy Director of Public Services. This evening, you have before you staff's recommendation to update the city's improvement standards and standard drawings. As mentioned in the staff report, it has been several years since the city has conducted a thorough review and update of these standards. These are the standards that the city uses for construction projects. They include material specifications, processes and methods for construction of public works infrastructure, and provide direction to contractors for projects in Rockland. The biggest part or the biggest changes that you'll see reflected in these are really regarding requirements that are already upon us. The state Caltrans updates their standards, fish and game, water air quality resources. And so our standards need to be updated to reflect those changes. And there's changes, minor modifications and updates to the definitions and so forth. But really the main changes are to keep us in line with the industry as a whole.
One thing that sort of stood out to me, and maybe you can explain, Section 4.3, just looking at the table of contents, with regards to aggregate, so it's the base is increasing, but the asphalt is reducing by quite a bit, anywhere from 6 inches down to 3 inches. So just a layperson's look like, are we getting thinner roads? And is that going to impact any future maintenance, or maybe the increase in aggregate base compensates for that?
You're actually right. The aggregate base, the section is actually getting bigger. And so what we found over time is that the trucks and so forth, they pound our roads a little bit more. And so we're actually beefing up our roadway sections so that we can provide for longevity in a section that will last longer here in the city of Rockland.
Okay, good. So the base being improved, it's not that the asphalt, the top surface is really the structural part. It's the base that does the heavy lifting, so to speak.
That is correct.
Okay. Does he mean 6.2 inches to 4? Is that what he's saying?
Mayor, the director just brought up one of the sections, 6. In that section, you're looking at 4-3.
Right.
In 6, where 2 inches of asphalt has changed to 3 inches of asphalt.
Oh, it's 2-3. I thought it was 6.
And then three inches of asphalt changed to 4 inches.
Gotcha. All right.
So, we are increasing.
All right. We're going in the right direction. Okay. Great. Anyone else have any questions or comments?
I do. Yeah. Thank you for asking to pull that off, and thank you for the input. I just, just for the public's understanding, there's, several hundred pages here of highly technical information, like down to manhole cover sizes and all kinds of stuff. I don't know if there's a better way to present that, but, it's obviously difficult for us to totally digest and understand everything, but maybe a synopsis of changes, if that's even possible, for something like this in the future, if we take on some big technical document. And maybe that's not easy to do either.
Yeah. In the
staff report, I'm where it goes line by line and goes over each of the changes and so forth.
You do a good job of listing
there.
Them.
So if you want a more detailed synopsis in the future, I guess we could do that. It's with the type of a technical document, it's kind of hard to do the Reader's Digest version, and right. That's what we tried to provide you.
I agree. I guess as a one that has to decide on policy and budgets and standards and things, approve them, at least as long as I know with confidence that there's not any radical changes in here, that's radically going to change the way we build our roads or curbs or pipes.
That's
we talk a lot about pipes and drains and that type of thing. The problems we're having with there. There's nothing radical as well. All I want.
That's a good concern, because one of the things, if we're going to do something radical, it's going to make the city of Rockland less competitive as we're building our infrastructure. And so, no, to answer your question, there's nothing radical in here. I think the most radical changes that have been implemented have been that of the state. When you look at low-impact development and the requirements on residential and commercial subdivisions, that's all state-driven. Mostly what we try to do is implement the state mandates as best and try to keep it as simple as we can so that we can let our developers and our community be as competitive within the building industry without designing a Ferrari when a Toyota will do, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, that does.
Absolutely.
That's good. I think that's a better understanding for the public, too.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
thank you.
Great. Council, I might add part of the changes with new technology and new materials coming online. For instance, we're not using corrugated pipe anymore. We're using what's the SDR stand for?
Well,
high density
polyethylene. Yeah, you're looking at the high rigid plastic as opposed to the metal that corrodes.
So it's the plastic that won't rust and corrode on you. So a lot of it's just updating to new materials that are modernized and will give a longer life span.
Great. Thanks, Justin. Sure.
To clarify, so Justin, in relationship to the changes, though, everything is included under your sectional descriptions on what changes occurred.
That is correct.
Okay. So for me to understand it, I can read all the information in the document, but to understand those individual changes, such as those referenced by the mayor, those are described by line item here in this.
That is correct. And you would need to use this in conjunction with everything else that's on our website, all the other standards that are there. If you wanted to know more about what was the context, I would refer you to those documents online. But generally speaking, this is the Reader's Digest version that will get you through what changed and why it changed.
Perfect.
And that's
thank you.
What I meant, that's what I was trying to say, is that this big comprehensive document, and I wasn't suggesting that we didn't have the information. I mean, it's there, but it's worth pointing out that, you know, it's hard to outline exactly what is there, and I just want the reassurance that it's not anything beyond what you've kind of outlined as loosely. And then a lot of what you've outlined is kind of hard to digest as well, as far as technically speaking. I don't know if one material is better than the other. So it's a good report. That's what I'm trying to say.
This was the improvement standards and the standard drawings, and we have our construction specifications as well.
Yeah.
Caltrans is updating theirs, which is going to require us to change ours as well. So you'll be seeing that, and it will come forward in a similar way. Unfortunately, the Reader's Digest version for that one will be a little bit more complicated because Caltrans has changed their entire format. So we won't be able to.
And maybe the biggest point might be that maybe that might be something that is better off of the consent calendar because it is so comprehensive and you know, difficult to.
Well, one thing to note is if Caltrans changes their standards, we have no choice but to adopt them anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we have to abide by Caltrans standard for federal projects to get that federal funding and state funding. So, it is a necessity.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
George, you have
Justin, did you run this by the development community at all? Did they get to review it and make comment?
Not specifically for ours. Generally speaking, the review by the development company or the development community comes when Caltrans is updating their standards, when the Air Resources Board and everybody else is updating their standards.
Well, I was just wondering if they got to look at this document.
It was available to them. We did not receive any comments, but we didn't call them
when we're done with
individually.
This, I'm going to give this to KB Holmes. This is my going away present to you. I can take it home and put it in my bathroom. So.
Again, this is just standards for City of Rockland-owned facility construction projects, not private enterprise.
Anything that would be in our right-of-way.
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, I'll move to approve item.
Any public comment?
Does any member of the public like to comment on this item? Seeing none, I move item 11.
I'll second.
Motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
Hold on a second.
Next on the agenda is citizens addressing the council. Any member of the public can address the council on any item that is not on the agenda. We can't take any action, but we would love to hear what's on your mind. If you'd like to speak, please come to the podium. Seeing none, we'll move on to public hearings. Item 16.
Good evening, Mayor Janda, members of the City Council. David Mullenbrook with the Public Services Department. The item before you is a request for the council to adopt a resolution regarding the 2016 Placer County Local Hazard Mitigation Plan, approving that document, and then also incorporating that document into the City of Rockland safety element of the general plan. By way of background, in the interest of avoiding high financial costs related to post-disaster recovery efforts, Congress recognized that a more proactive disaster avoidance approach was necessary, so they adopted the Disaster Mitigation Act in 2000. Its primary purpose was on creating an ongoing community-wide public and government planning process that ultimately would result in local governing boards, including the Rockland City Council, formally adopting what's called a Local Hazard Mitigation Plan, or, in other words, an LHMP. The plan itself delineates hazards and assesses risks of a variety of natural hazards that could potentially impact Placer County as a whole, as well as individual jurisdictions within Placer County. Additionally, the LHMP includes a review of each jurisdiction's existing hazard reduction capabilities and recommends actions and projects to further reduce future vulnerability. As specified by the Disaster Mitigation Act of 2000, local governments are required to update their LHMP every 5 years in order to remain eligible for future federal disaster mitigation funding. The purpose of hazard mitigation is to reduce or eliminate long-term risk to people and property from hazards. As the lead agency for this effort, Placer County developed this LHMP update to make the county and cities within and their residents less vulnerable to future hazard events. The LHMP was prepared so that Placer County and the participating jurisdictions, including the City of Rockland, would be eligible for Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, pre-disaster mitigation and hazard mitigation grant programs. The county followed a planning process prescribed by FEMA, which began in April 2015 with the formation of a Hazard Mitigation Planning Committee comprised of key county and city representatives and other regional stakeholders, a total of 22 different entities. The committee conducted a risk assessment that identified and profiled hazards that pose a risk to the county and cities, assessed the county's and city's vulnerability to these hazards, and examined the capabilities in place to mitigate them. As a whole, Placer County is vulnerable to several hazards that are identified, profiled, and analyzed in the LHMP. Floods, levee failures, wildfires, and severe weather are among the hazards that can have a significant impact on the county. For the City of Rockland, hazards identified included localized flooding, severe weather, which includes heat, freeze, and heavy storms, wildfires, and hazardous materials transport. The goals and objectives of the LHMP are, number one, to minimize risk and vulnerability of Placer County to the impacts of natural hazards and protect lives and reduce damages and losses to property, economy, public health and safety, and the environment. Number two, provide protection for critical facilities, infrastructure, utilities, and services from hazard impacts. Number three, improve public awareness, education, and preparedness for all hazards. Number four, increase communities' capabilities to mitigate losses and to be prepared for, respond to, and recover from a disaster event. And finally, number five, maintain FEMA eligibility, position the communities for grant funding. In conclusion, the action of incorporating the LHMP update into the general plan safety element allows the city to remain eligible for federal disaster mitigation funding should the city wish to pursue such funding in the future. Beyond regulatory mitigation efforts that exist already, such as the city's floodplain development ordinance, general plan goals and policies, the building code, and others, other potential mitigation items that were identified in the 2016 LHMP update include integrate LHMP into the safety element of the general plan, which is the item before you this evening, FEMA National Flood Insurance Program, creek channel and drainage way clearing and maintenance, high water use landscape irrigation retrofit, open space fire prevention and vegetation management prescribed grazing, and GIS mapping of pertinent information that can be used by all agencies and departments in the development of plans and during emergency events. While the identification of these mitigation actions does not commit the city to their implementation, the value of these mitigation options is recognized by the city, and as a result, many of them are ongoing. As a result of being listed in the 2016 LHMP update, these mitigation actions are now eligible for future federal disaster mitigation funding. Again, should such funds become available in the future, and should the city wish to pursue such funding. Unless there are any questions, that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, David. Go ahead, George.
David, I don't know whether to ask you or Justin. I don't know who's handling this. Paragon Court, since there's going to be grant funds involved here, can we get some money to build that wall up, however high it has to go up on the creek there, so people aren't in the floodplain any longer?
Potentially, depending on the funding that becomes available, that certainly would qualify as a pre-disaster mitigation effort. We are also taking a look at we've earmarked some money in the budget this year for doing some hydraulic studies to see what all the improvements in the past that have taken place have done with respect to the floodplain in that area, and that's a study that I think will be underway shortly.
Okay.
So if such funding does become available, that certainly would be an eligible project.
As I said before, the city diverted all the water from this area to get rid of the flooding here down to the creek. So since 1987, those people have been subject to floods, and we haven't really done much here in the city to fight that. And so
right.
I think that it's long overdue after...
Yeah, there were another
years or 30 years that they get some relief.
There were a number of other drainage improvements that were historically constructed, including widening the underpass under Sunset Boulevard, installing the flood wall, and other drainage improvements in the downtown area. So it's a package that's never been comprehensively looked at, and that's why we have a consultant on board to do that now and see if, in fact, we can get...
I just want to make sure that if we're going in for grants, that be applied for. At least I would hope it would be.
It would certainly qualify.
Thank you.
Great. Anyone else have any questions or comments? Nope. Okay, great. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
This is a public hearing, so I'll open the public hearing. Is there any comment from the public on this item? Seeing none, we'll close public hearing, bring back to council.
I'd like to move approval of resolution that A, resolution City Council, City of Rockland, approving the Placer County 2016 Local Multi-Hazard Plan Mitigation Plan, the LHMP update, and approving an amendment of the City of Rockland General Plan community safety element to incorporate by reference the Placer County 2016 Local Multi-Hazard Mitigation Plan LHMP update.
And I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you, guys. David, thank you, and Dave and Justin, you guys. I'm sure there was a lot of input on this one. It's something that will affect people for a long time. So thank you very, very much.
Great. Thank you.
Also participated as well.
Excellent.
Who?
Fire chief.
Oh, the Lincoln man. Okay.
Oh.
Mr. Sheridan.
Great. Great. Item 17. DM.
This item is on the agenda from the last meeting. There's two recommendations. The first is to waive the second reading and approve the ordinance 1058 of the City Council of the City of Rockland, adding Chapter 8.34 of the Rockland Municipal Code prohibiting marijuana use on public property, and also to approve the urgency ordinance of the City Council of the City of Rockland, adding Chapter 8.34 to the Rockland Municipal Code prohibiting marijuana use on public property to be effective immediately as an urgency measure. I do have the presentation and information that we just had at the last meeting. I'm happy to go through that if there's comments or questions or desire. The intent is due to Proposition 64 being on the ballot this evening, which would be effective immediately. Marijuana use may become legal. In the proposition, cities are allowed to prohibit the use of marijuana on city property, and the ordinances do that. In addition, the state law, the proposition would prohibit marijuana use on public property. However, public property is it's not public property. It's public place is not defined in the proposition. So the intent is to define it for purposes of the city of Rockland. So I can go through that further. I did a fast overview. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Nothing's changed since the last presentation that most of us were at.
Right. No, I was not here.
You can certainly.
But you do not need to, for me. I'm fine. I'm very familiar with what you have here, and I'm in full agreement.
Any other comments or questions?
No, I think it's you've done a good job, Deanna. Don't let go of your head, but. Mm-hmm.
Dave, just a couple comments. Thank you, Deanne, for jumping on this and making this happen. And thanks to our law enforcement leadership for your cooperation and leadership as well. I was just at the Board of Supervisors today where they were considering their medical marijuana ordinance. Previously, earlier this year, we had successfully advocated on behalf of the cities to ensure that the county adopt an ordinance that's very similar to the cities and has a very narrow footprint in allowing, not allowing outside grows for medical marijuana and not allowing commercial cultivation and not allowing distribution or dispensaries. But over the past couple months, there's been some discussion, I guess, at the Board of Supervisors level to try and crack that open a little bit. So one of the areas that there was some interest in expanding was to allow outside grows because there was discussion within county staff that only allowing indoor grows can be hazardous to people's health and create mold and all sorts of stuff inside homes. So that's one of the reasons why they're contemplating outside grows. The reason why I bring that up is, one, just to let everybody know that, you know, the world is having a conversation about this. And if Prop 64 passes, I think the world's going to change. And marijuana use and marijuana cultivation, the market is going to want to come to Placer County. There's a ton of money behind this, and there's a ton of interest in it. So my view has always been, until we know what's going to happen out there, we got to craft the most restrictive, smallest footprint we possibly can. So I'm totally in support of this, and thank you. Question. If 64 passes and we don't allow so the recreational use and growth would fall under our medical marijuana ordinance, correct? So we wouldn't allow an outside grow in Rockland because the state, Prop 64, would allow anybody to have six plants.
Yeah, let me address that, and it was addressed. Currently, the city of Rockland prohibits all outdoor cultivation of marijuana, and our ordinance states marijuana, not necessarily medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. That would still be valid, and all marijuana growth outside would be prohibited, and that would be consistent with the proposition. The city of Rockland does regulate indoor growth, and there's a land use regulation on the limit of the indoor growth. At this time, it's our opinion that the city of Rockland's ordinance would be consistent with Proposition 64. As that pans out, there may be a need to tailor and address our rules as to indoor cultivation, but at the outset, it is consistent and would regulate indoor cultivation within the city of Rockland for all medical as well as non-medical to the limitation of it's like 50 square feet.
So is a resident now who wants to grow medical marijuana, are they required to get a permit?
I don't believe so. They're limited by the land use requirements. They do have to have their state licensing where you ha- and I'm not familiar with it, so pardon me, but you have to have a state certification in order to be to use medical marijuana. So you would have to comply with that.
And are we talking so that we know who in Rockland has that license to grow their medical marijuana?
I am not familiar with that information.
Because the reason why I'm asking is because the rationale for the county to allow outdoor grows was that indoor grows are so hazardous and they create such a public health problem. And then is there a rationale for us to regulate indoor grows, to be able to inspect them, to make sure that houses aren't filled with spores and so on and so forth, endangering public health? That's just my my question. And it's not really germane to this. It's more of a little bit broader question.
Well, could I also add to that, too? Because if it did pass tonight and one could grow six plants, it's my understanding that, you know, it's up to this jurisdiction whether or not they have to recreate a permit process or not. Is that accurate?
The proposed new state law would allow local regulation of indoor cultivation with some parameters. You have to allow at least six plants, and you must be consistent with state law, but you could regulate it as long as you are consistent with state law. You could require a permit system.
Right. So this, along with what Dave is saying, that's kind of going hand in hand.
The current proposal is we do not require a permit system, but we could.
And you probably could with the medical marijuana, too, is what Dave is, I think, is discussing.
Well, if 64
passes. We're treating it as marijuana regardless.
Right. If 64 passes, then the medical portion is irrelevant, right?
Well, there's a distinction. There's still going to be rules for medical versus non-medical.
What's the chief? You're sitting over there rocking back and forth. What's your take on this one?
Well, I agree. The medical marijuana is different. It's based on what the doctor recommends. And so Prop 64, if it passes, allows for you to have up to 28.5 grams in your possession. If a doctor was to sign a script that allowed you to have 60 grams in your possession, that would be above what the Prop 64 regulation is, and then it would fall back under the medical marijuana rule.
Gotcha. May I ask a question, though? But currently, if you get your 215 card, is that what it is?
Correct.
I don't know why I know that. I've studied this. That allows you to grow more plants.
It does.
And actually sell it, right? What's the limit?
Well, it doesn't allow you to sell it or give it away, although Prop 64 allows you to give it away. You have to – it's very complex. Medical marijuana is very complex. It was just changed recently over the last couple of years. The state was putting a process in place over the last 20 years that never really materialized, and so they've been going just off the medical script in allowing someone to grow the marijuana. But there's supposed to be a caregiver involved. If it's not an assigned caregiver, then you can't technically pass. You can't even give free drugs away is basically what
the law
is
the says. Limit, the number of plant limit?
Well, currently our municipal code is six in a 50-square-foot radius.
Per any one part.
Per residence.
But under the, if you have this medical card, doesn't that give you ability to grow more than six?
No. The card allows you to possess.
Okay.
Yeah, and the growth is what we regulate.
So
it's indoor.
Correct.
Yeah.
And our ordinance is more restrictive than what the state allows, and we can be more restrictive.
We can't be more restrictive than the six plants if 64 passes.
Right.
But the 99 limit that you were...
Is it 99?
99 currently for medical marijuana. So, we don't allow it, but if a jurisdiction had no rules like Placer County, right now someone could and probably is growing 99.
Up to 99
plants. Yeah, the 215 card allows you to grow that unless the jurisdiction you're in
regulates it. Correct.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
But then... Okay. From what I understand, the 99 plants is somebody who is able to piece together the cards of other people to be able to grow that. And
it's
and
part of that.
That's going
even more.
Away.
Well, that can go to 5,000 if you get 99 times.
You're having a lot of these co-op grows where you have a lot of people.
That's going away, yeah.
That's going away completely.
Well, there are two separate distinct regulations. There's the medical marijuana regulation that is still going to go through the state process, and then there's what they're calling now recreational marijuana use. So there's still two distinct laws, and either one has to be repealed or – but they'll both be consistent. Wow. You know, they're inconsistent with each other.
So at the before state us level. Tonight, at is we're level. Just – we're reaffirming public space to disallow marijuana use in public space, which I'm totally supportive of. The other question is, at some juncture, do we want to look at permitting indoor grows of medical and or recreational because of the, quote, hazard and the destructive nature of these indoor grows to the physical structure of homes and so on and so forth? I don't know.
Maybe.
I think that's an item that will require some study when you start regulating, just like you issue a house permit, you take on responsibility.
Right.
And if you miss something, you can be held accountable for that. So, you know, I think
I kind of want to put that out there for a conversation at a later date.
Okay. Any other comments or questions?
No.
Nope. Any member of the public like to comment on this item? Seeing none, we'll come back to council. This is an ordinance.
So, well, this is a second reading. So,
right. So, the clarification, Deanne, there are two separate items. One is the second reading, and one's an emergency ordinance.
Yeah, just for ease, I think if you take them separate, that would be appropriate with separate motions. And I think the staff report has the two recommendations you can just take as a motion to waive the second reading and approve Ordinance 1058.
So my question is, we don't have to read by title only on A.
You do, but you can do it in one motion. You can say waive the second reading, approve Ordinance 1058 of City Council, and the title of that. You don't necessarily have to make a motion to read it by title only and waive the full reading of the ordinance. You can do that in a combined one motion, that you waive the second reading and approve the ordinance entitled.
Okay, well, I just want to make sure there's no possibility of an appeal of this one. So if we handled each one separately, would that be okay?
That is appropriate.
I'd much rather have it done separately so people can't think it was being clouded. So with that, I'd like to move approval of the resolution of the City Council of the City of Rockland approving the Placer County if I went to the right one, I'd be okay. I'd like to move approval of the second reading and publication of Ordinance Number 1058 of the City Council of the City of Rockland, adding Chapters 8.34 to the Rockland Municipal Code prohibiting marijuana use on property. That's the first. That's A. Then I'll come back and hit the ordinance by title.
Do we need to make a motion to read by title?
I will second that, and just for the record, it is item 17A on the agenda. I think.
And a yes vote is to repeal the second reading? Is that what we're repealing the second reading?
The approval is to waive the second reading and approve it by title only, and the title has been read. So to approve the ordinance by title only.
Okay.
That was on. That's the
A.
That's on A?
Yes.
Okay. Move, read by title only, okay. I make a motion to read 17A by title only, which I just did.
Yeah.
And I have to do that first. Correct? It's a second reading.
Maybe Barbara and I think the motion was to waive the second reading and approve Ordinance Number 1058 of the City Council of the City of Rockland, adding Chapter 8.34 to the Rockland Municipal Code prohibiting marijuana use on public property.
Yeah, that couldn't have said it better. Thank you.
Perfect.
That's a good motion, George.
We have a motion. Is there a second? There's a second. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Okay. 17B.
Did we ask for public comment?
We did.
Yes.
We did.
Yeah.
No one wants to make a motion after that.
I will make a motion to read by title only 17B.
No.
Do we not need to? Because this is an
emergency
ordinance.
Urgency ordinance. The recommendation of B is the recommendation to approve the ordinance as it reads on the agenda.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to move item 17B as it appears on the agenda.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Okay. Great. Thank you, Deanne. Item 18, Rockland Entrance Landscaping Pacific Street Project. David.
Good evening. David Mullenbrook, Public Services again. Real briefly, the item before you tonight is a bid award for the Pacific Street Landscaping. It's the southern entrance to the city of Rockland between Sunset Boulevard and the Roseville city limits. We went out to bid, and the lowest responsive bidder was Airco Pacific in the amount of $81,663 with a 15% city manager change order contingency. That total increases to $93,913. I recommend that the council approve both resolutions related to that item this evening. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to respond to them.
Thank you, David. Is there, do we know what we're going to be doing yet? I mean, there was no.
It's primarily, we've been working with Kinder Morgan to upgrade the landscaping on their side of Sunset Boulevard. So this project is primarily related to the center medians, upgrading the center median landscaping, and then also doing the southern side of Pacific Street between Sunset and basically out to Pick and Pull. Once you get to a certain point in Pick and Pull, the grades are too difficult to have some landscaping. The landscaping involves mostly shrub species with some trees as well.
Follows okay. A similar pattern to the other landscaping you see in the city.
Okay. And then on the Kinder Morgan property, that they're going to do theirs, we're going to do ours, and it's going to kind of
– That's correct. We've been coordinating together with them as far as what ultimately they were conditioned long ago to improve that landscape. And so we have resurrected those conditions and have been working with them to do what they should have done long ago.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Anyone else have questions or
I do.
Comments? Go ahead, George.
Maybe a suggestion.
Sure.
Can we have by maybe Gregory A. Janda instead of Gregory A. Mayer? The two resolutions.
Good catch.
I don't want to be nitpicky, but not my name.
That is good. Thank you. Well, mine says Gregory A. Janda, comma, Mayer.
Well, the printed copy shows.
Page 388 says Gregory A. Mayer.
And so does 390.
390. Yeah. 388 is still wrong. 390 looks like it was corrected.
My apologies.
No problem. No problem. Thanks, George.
Okay.
Looking out for me.
I did something right. I blew the ordinance thing. But.
Good. Nah. Anyone else have any comments or questions for staff? No? Nope. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Any member of the public like to comment on this item? Are you on? Are you on? There you go.
25 years ago, when we allowed the expansion of that facility at Southern Pacific at that time to include a couple additional tanks and also changing from white to mauve, this was a condition was imposed on them to allow that to happen. And the intention was it was going to be somewhat significantly landscaped, and they punched in a bunch of trees, and it really wasn't well followed to ensure compliance. So it's now good, and I thank you for your efforts and the staff's efforts to make this happen. I think it's really going to add a lot to our community, and thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. Any other member of the public wish to comment? Seeing none, we'll come back to council.
Move approval of 18A and B.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
Yeah, not tomorrow.
Yeah. Announcements and brief reports. Any you want to follow up anything on today?
The action at the Board of Supervisors today on their medical marijuana ordinance was to provide direction to staff primarily on the limited outdoor grow, although Supervisor Montgomery really wants to encourage them to look at limited commercial cultivation in other parts of the county, which it's yet to be determined if there's 3 votes to support that. So that's kind of where that.
So they're still going to come back then.
So they're still going to come back, and if they change the zoning, I guess at all, if not significantly, they have to make another round with their MACs to get their input before they come back. To the board.
So I was going to ask that too. I was there for a while and I had to leave, so I didn't hear the conclusion. But my understanding was the direction was to go back. Any changes has to go to the MACs as well, right? So that they're going to have to take that out. And what I heard was that it'd be, you know, outdoor growth, you know, for the 6 plants in very rural areas. That was the intent. And there was also discussion about significant buffers as well. Correct?
Yes, they had talked about 600 and 1,000 foot buffers, but that was direction, and that'll be presented when they come back.
So absent of the county, they don't have any ordinance right now, right? I mean, they have nothing. So state law rules right now.
Correct.
And pending tonight's results, if things pass, then it's wide open for people for anyone to possess 6 plants or grow 6 plants on their property anywhere in the county.
Yes. But beyond that, state is going to regulate growing. And that process won't be up for maybe 6 months. And so the county will have some time to get this ordinance back
right,
in.
But that's just at the commercial level, right?
Or above the 6 plants.
Above 6. So,
yes.
So anyone could grow 6 if Prop 64 passes.
Yes.
Tonight. Anywhere in the county.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. So
indoor or outdoor?
Anywhere in the county.
County.
Unincorporated.
Right. Unincorporated parts of the county.
Yeah.
Indoor or outdoor.
Yeah, or in jurisdictions that have their own ordinances. Right. So, but yeah, someone could legally grow it on their roof if they wanted to.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I just want to be clear.
Unincorporated plot. Yeah.
But Granite Bay.
Yes.
Loomis?
Oh, they're a town.
Okay. All right. We won't go too bad.
So given you attended this meeting and the premise for moving towards outdoor grows is this impact of indoor grows. Was there any data or information supplied to support such a claim?
No, they...
They talk about ease of enforcement, though.
Yeah, they talked about ease of...
Able to actually see it. What's going on.
A visual count as opposed to having the resources to go into, you know, inside buildings.
Search warrant to try
which also increases the likelihood that someone seeking to take possession of it who shouldn't have possession of it also has much more ease of doing so,
sure.
Which creates another risk. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just asking.
Yeah. Whole new world.
Welcome to California. okay. Anyone else have any announcements or brief reports? City manager report, anything to add? Okay, great.
Will a council be presented with them?
Yes, Janine will be, I'm not sure when, but she will be coming forward to this council to make a presentation.
Okay, thank you.
Great. City attorney report?
Nothing to report.
Okay, thank you. Future agenda items. Any future agenda items? Any future strategic planning items? No action on public financing authority. No action on city council acting as successor agency. So meeting adjourned.
Yahoo.
Thank you very much.